You know, one of my favorite things to do is, you know, I drive a lot, so is to listen to music that's really good to travel to. Like, you look out the window and there's a just a the scenery is your video, like your music video.
Yeah.
And, you know, ZZ Top's one of those that's really good for U2. The band U2, The Edge, just has that driving train-like guitar. It's really just... It's fantastic. The ding-a-ling-a-ling really helped everybody, I think.
Understand what you're referring to, yeah.
Yeah.
My dad had a couple of those albums. As a kid, the family used to pack up into the car, take the van out west to the national parks, and my dad would have his driving albums kind of on repeat.
Uh-huh. And that's how I learned it.
That's how it is. Yep. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so to that end, there's a really, really great video by... I'll get it to you afterwards. I don't want to waste my time thinking mm-hmm. about who this is.
We're not going to jump off on the tangent.
Michel Gondry. He did the video. This is... we're talking about high speed rail, right? We're on dueling tangents. I'm Luke.
You're Brian. I'm Luke.
See, I'm so excited to get to this, and I'm full of caffeine.
Yeah,
we're talking about high speed rail here, and I want to go through this like the rest of the world. Japan started their first bullet train in 1964. Today, Japan has a network of 9 high-speed rail lines servicing 22 of its major cities, stretching across 3 main islands. And they're a lot bigger than you think they are. They're pretty mm-hmm. much half of the East Coast of Chicago, of the United States.
Yeah.
Then there's Europe, International High-Speed Network. France was 1981. Service is 124 miles an hour between Paris and Lyon. Today, the French high-speed rail network comprises over 2,800 kilometers, which allows speeds of up to 200 miles an hour.
Wow.
And that's all over, and there's a network they show all over Europe going mm-hmm. all the way as far as Russia.
No, I was going to say, it goes all the way out to St. Petersburg.
Up to Sweden. Yeah. And
it stretches the entire continental Europe.
Yeah, well, go watch any Jason Bourne movie that's all about him traveling on trains. All the high speed, all the spy stuff happens on every single. So you could be part of a spy network as well. But looking at China, right? And I want to read this. Due to generous funding from the Chinese government, high speed rail in China has developed rapidly over the past 15 years. China began planning for its current high-speed rail system in the early 1990s, modeling it after Japan's Shinkansen system. Chinese high-speed rail service began operation in 2008, running at speeds of 250 to 350 miles an hour, which is around 217 kilometers an hour, which is around 217 miles an hour. By the way, we're the only us in Costa Rica.
Yep.
Us in Costa Rica are the only people... on the British system, which
I believe Costa Rica is also switching over. We're going to be
good
one of the
metric system, everybody. Yep. They have it all over the place. You can get from the center of China, which China's huge,
mm-hmm.
to the outer rim of Mongolia in 15 hours.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yep.
And while they may not have a military, they invested in our infrastructure. Other countries that are above us, South Korea, Italy, Turkey has more, Russia has more, Finland has more, Uzbekistan has more. You know why? Because we have zero. Poland, the Netherlands, Luxembourg. Luxembourg is the size of like Madison, and it has more high-speed rail lines, 142 kilometers of high-speed rail lines.
Yep.
The United States, 54.
Yeah. We're not doing so great.
Not so good.
Not so
length
great.
Of lines in operation by country.
Yeah.
54 kilometers. That's it.
Yeah. And
so there's this article in EESI.org outlines about 7 different things which is stopping us and why we don't have and they're pretty quick here. You want to go or do you want me to go?
You can go.
The lower population density of U.S. cities compared to those in Europe and Asia makes it difficult to give high-speed rail large enough numbers of people to make it economically viable. Yes, that was also said about pretty much the intercontinental rail system until you have pretty much every single town that is in the middle of between here and California. Any established town is because... because of the rail, every single stop grew economically. The jobs were waiting to go there, and you didn't even need a freaking car to get there.
No, you hopped on a train car.
Yeah. We got to get through this. Stronger property rights in the United States compared to other countries, which makes it difficult for governments to purchase land for new railroads. Yeah, the other side note about China is they displaced about 300,000 people to make sure this happened. America's car culture and emphasis on driving. The total automotive marketing spend in the United States is about $35 billion per year in climbing. Also, the difficulty of shifting to public transit once city county infrastructure has already been built and been designed for automobile accessibility rather than train stations. Basically, we're living in a car's world.
Oh, yeah. You built your entire city infrastructure around it.
Yeah, we spared no expense to go and save the car companies.
Nope.
Yep. Difficult. U.S. long-distance railways are mostly owned by freight companies, forcing passenger rail carriers to yield priority to U.S. to freight trains. Oh, yeah. We use a whole lot of rail all the time for goods and services, or for goods,
yeah,
not
goods,
services.
Not services.
The greater distance between U.S. cities allows many transportation needs to be more conveniently served by commercial airlines. Oh, yeah, the commercial airlines. I'd rather be stuck on a train for the same amount of time that I'm in the air because I'm huge and I don't want to be stuck in a box. Oh, and if the train derails or goes wrong, you can just get out and usually you're fine. If you crash in a plane or if anything goes wrong, you're traveling at 700 miles an hour in the middle of the air. And then lastly, political interference by some extremely wealthy individuals who want to suppress interest in railroads to maximize fossil fuel.
I feel like that's a pretty big one right there.
I think that might be a big thing.
That's a pretty big reason why we do not have this.
It reminds me of Roger Rabbit. Remember Roger Rabbit, the Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Judge Doom? There'll be highways as far as the eye can see. Can't wait, guys. That's what we've been doing. And we've been stuck in the 1950s mindset forever. And what we're trying to do is get to the 1990s mindset to catch up with the rest of the world, because that's who we are as the United States.
Yeah.
I promise we're going to get to your calls next. 844-967-2789.
We are Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We will be right back.
Why are we not...